Good morning, everybody. As Simon said, my name is Johnny. I'm part of the leadership team here at Grace Church. It's so good to have you with us this morning. I want to just encourage you with our Zoom prayer meetings. They are fantastic. They are such excellent times where we just share a bit of God's word very, very briefly, and we just get to pray together as a church family. And just starting the week, I just find it really encourages me personally, starting the week that way, and just engaging with God's people, seeking him before we start the week. So I do recommend it, and again, make sure you're there on Thursday. Some really helpful, useful information to be aware of in the life of the church. So make it along on Thursday. Last week, I was preaching last week, and I started talking about our series called Home, because we want this season, as we return back to Bognor site and Havant and Chichester, meeting in our sites again, we want it to be a time of rest and recovery. And how that looks, what rest really looks like, it doesn't involve us just lying in bed doing nothing. It's being home together, enjoying God together. And we're basing it on a passage. The whole series that we are doing is being based on Ephesians 2:19. And it's about coming back home, coming back to Bognor site. I don't think I made enough reference last week to it's coming home. Like, why did that not click? I love football as well, but it just didn't click in my brain about doing football's coming home. Like, come on. And it is coming home. So I debated wearing an England shirt today, and I thought, no, I might as well wear it next week because we're in the final next week. So, yes, warning, next week I'll be wearing an England shirt. When we're in the final. Anyway, today we're going to be carrying on this series about coming home. So we're going to be in Romans 12. So if you have a Bible, grab that, look in there. You might grab your phone out and find Romans 12. I'll be reading from that in a minute. And as you're turning there, I've got a question for you this morning just to ponder while people are looking for it. As I explained last week, that we are the household of God and that we are planted in Jesus. The question is, how does that look in practice? If we are the home of God, if we are a home together, what does it look like in practice for us to be that household? So I've got the question here. If this was your home, what's your responsibility? If this was your home, what's your responsibility? Because we've got responsibilities in our homes, don't we? We have to put the bins out, or we put the kids to bed, or we do the cooking. We've got tons of responsibilities, but what would it be here? I'm going to come back to that in a minute after we've read Romans 12, and also I'll come back to it at the end. So if you want to turn to Romans 12, we're going to read from verse 3. So verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, one household, one home, like we said last week. We're a family, loads of different metaphors. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, you get the idea, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Fantastic words of Paul in Romans there. At this point in Romans chapter 12, Paul has already laid out the issue that faces all of humankind, the issue of sin and the law, and he also explains that the solution to the problem is the gospel of Jesus. And then chapter 12 onwards answers the question, so what does that look like? How does that look in practice? What's the practical outworking of the gospel in Christian living? What does it look like in the church? And Paul has got a simple answer. He explains that through God's grace, you have been given gifts that are to be used to serve, bless, and build up the church. So I asked a minute ago the question, if this was your home, what would your responsibility be? If we look at Romans 12, we get quite a simple answer. It's to use the gifts and responsibilities you have to bless the church. That is our responsibility. It doesn't matter who you are, what gifts you have, what your gifts are, where you serve, how much you serve, at what stage of coming out of lockdown that you feel comfortable with and your lockdown church recovery process where you are there and your mental state, or how long you have been in or out of church. It doesn't matter. We have gifts and responsibilities to bless the church. That is our role. And so this morning, I want to unpack the how. How do I do that? The gifts and responsibilities to bless the church, they are varying acts of grace. They are from God, and they are very, very different. They are out of love, and again, they are used to bless. So we'll unpack each one of those as we go. So first up, the gifts and responsibilities to bless the church are varying acts of grace. It says in verse 4 to 5, these members, they do not have the same function. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. In my home, Kim and I do not have the same jobs. We don't have the same roles, right? They're not based on age. They're not based on gender. They're not based on anything else other than what we enjoy or where we are stronger at. So, for example, neither of us are gifted in DIY. Kim is completely inept. I'm just slightly higher than inept. Right? That's. But one of us has to do it. So I'm a little bit stronger, so I do that. It's the same with cooking. I'm not gifted in cooking. There was a time that I haven't lived down since I've met Kim where I once tried to be a bit Heston Blumenthal. I put juice in rather than water to cook pasta in because I thought, well, you know, just try it out and see if it changes the flavour of it. I've not lived it down. It's not gone well. There we go. So I have improved. I have got better. When I cook, it's slightly edible. It's okay. But Kim is a much better cook than I am. So she takes the role there. And in most homes, I don't think it's just our home. I hope it's not just our home. In pretty much every home, no one has completely the same strength, completely the same function within their home. It depends on what they enjoy. It depends on their strengths that God has gifted them. And it's the same in the church. The gifts in the church, they vary. They are all very, very, very different. But the roles and the functions and the gifts, whatever you want to call them in this church, they stem from, are found in, and are rooted in God's grace. The joy is because that's the place where it all starts from. It's all rooted in the grace of God and that it is a gift. There is none greater, there's none that are better, and Paul's really clear about this. Because the gifts and responsibilities to bless the church, they're out of grace, that means that we're all needed. We're all essential, we're all important in the running of the church home, if you will. It's helping around the house. So me preaching this morning might be the equivalent to someone hoovering. And then you've got Nathan doing PA while he's doing a bit of the cooking in the kitchen. We're just helping around the house. That's what we're doing. It's just to help the family home function well. It's like, and we just see God's grace and his kindness in it. It's like when I've got my children and I let them join in washing the car, I gain nothing. I gain absolutely nothing. In fact, it's harder work for me. We think that when we are serving in church with our different roles, our different responsibilities, we're helping God out. Actually, we're making it harder work for him. But it's God's grace that he lets us join in building his church, making it home, letting us help around the house. But that does link to the next point. The gifts and responsibilities to bless the church, they are out of love. In verse 9 to 10, it says, love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I don't get this right all the time. And I'm hoping everybody else in this room is also as selfish as I am. I got this badly wrong the other day. I phoned Kim up on my way to work, and I made myself feel really, really good about this. And I had to sort this out after. But I said to her, well, I've done all this this morning. Don't you see? I've done all of these jobs. And I just felt disappointed that you didn't notice it. You didn't realize how good I was at serving you, and I just feel really let down actually, because I needed to get to work and you just didn't see it, and I just don't feel that you did as much as me today. And obviously I was right. Absolutely not. Right? Completely not. I was focused on getting myself to work. I was focused on what I was doing, trying to get praise for all the things that I was doing, and I completely overlooked everything that Kim had done that day, everything that she had helped and done around the house. Please tell me this like happens in everybody else's home as well. Like this is a normal thing. But do you know what happened? Do you know what happened in that moment is I did exactly what Paul was saying just a minute ago. Be devoted to yourself in one another. Honor yourself above others. That's what it says, yeah? It's not what he says. He says, be... I love how none of you were like, that's not what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. No, be devoted to one another. Not yourself, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. And as I'm talking, there's going to be some people this morning who just feel overlooked. They're feeling overlooked, that their giftings haven't been seen, that they haven't been used. And I don't want to underplay that because that's hard and that's painful. But in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is making a similar point to the one that he is in Romans 12. He says this, instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There are many gifts in this family, in this house, in this home, but they're to be used to build God's church without division. Like I said last week, in coming back home, we're restoring the art of one anothering. Everything that Paul is talking about here. Are you one anothering when you are here? Here's a harder question. Are you one anothering in your own home? Are you thinking about others? If you are single and you live on your own, are you doing that to your neighbors? where you live? Are you one anothering in your own home? If you struggle to one another in your own home, it will be a struggle to one another here. If we moan that our gifts and our responsibilities aren't seen, we create division. We are honoring the wrong things. Just like my phone call to Kim. And in today's passage in Romans, Paul is telling the Roman church that very thing. The status games have got to stop. You've got to quit trying to get up on one another. It says it, doesn't it? For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with your faith God has distributed to each of you. In sober judgment, we need to realize our position. Honestly, if you are a Christian this morning, if you are aware and believe of your need for salvation and know that you are sinful, and that completely takes away the idea that we can think too highly of ourselves instantly. Even if you were born affluent or poor, even if you were born ugly or pretty, or gifted by grace in a different way to someone else, the same thing remains. Our status was the same. Our status was the same. We were a sinner until the moment God found us and with his gospel transformed us and saved us. If we believe that, if we hold on to that, then we easily know that we're no longer to think too little of others and think too highly of ourselves. Our giftings, our roles, our responsibilities, they are all on an equal footing, not just because God's gifted them to us, but because of our own position, who we are. Without the bins out of the house will smell. But it's the same with cooking. If there's no cooking, there will be no dinner. I don't want a smelly house. Yeah, we don't want a smelly church where we just think about ourselves, where we just are so focused on self. And just think about setup, for example. This morning we had an incredible army of people just serving one another. It's beautiful to see. And you know what? It got set up like properly quick. It was amazing. And when we are in a place like this, you don't notice when setup is done, but we sure will notice if it's not done, wouldn't we? You'd be sitting on the floor. Very uncomfortable in here, I think. And squeaky by the sounds of it. I'm just... the way we serve has got to be rooted in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And ironically, what's really ironic about this is the amazingness of God's upside-down kingdom. It means that we can feel a sense of rest when we serve one another. It's crazy. When we are serving out of love for one another, we get a sense of rest. So last week I mentioned rest and worship as a lens to look through when we think of how we can rest. It is exactly the same when we are applying it to responsibilities and serving in the church. If you ask yourself, am I serving through the lens of rest and worship? You'll know if you're not, because this will happen. You'll have a sense of isolation. You just don't feel part of the family. You start to envy other people's roles and responsibilities. Like, I want that. And you start to feel a discontentment. You start to struggle serving. You start to just struggle getting into everyday church life. You start to feel there's a worry and an anxiety, and you try to do a job really well to make it seen, and we forget that it's home. We forget that why we're here to be home, because we're at home, we've got more mess, less dress. We worry about the mess when actually that's not what we're called to do as a home. We're called to for more mess, less dress. We we are serving, rather than serving out of love, we are serving for love. We're serving to be seen. And when we're serving as well, we're serving for accomplishment. We're serving for recognition. We're serving, and we miss the whole point that we are to serve. We are serving in the way that Christ did. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. But if we look through the lens of serving as rest and worship, the opposite happens. We get a deep relationship with the family. We feel real part of it. We enjoy. There's an enjoyment rather than an envy. There's a contentment in who I am in Christ, and I'm just loving what everyone else is doing rather than a discontentment. There's a trust and a peace. We're happy with more mess, less stress, because it feels like home to us. We're working out from a place of love rather than trying to gain it. Because we know our position in Christ, we are loved. Actually, we're flowing out of that rather than going, oh, I'm not loved enough. I need to bring it in. We're working to contribute rather than to be accomplished. There's no need to perform. Yeah, because we're a family. We can celebrate the fact that the family home is a place where people can flourish. Because we are one body, because we are one home who serve one another out of love, what happens is that this side here, that one there, it becomes our DNA. It becomes the thing that is integrated into us. And you know what happens when someone looks in, when someone walks through the door, what they see is something that is beautiful. They see something that they want to be part of. They don't see a smelly church. They don't see a church that doesn't take the bins out, metaphorical bins. Yeah, they see a church where it's fragrant and people can flourish because they are in a place of contentment and a place of enjoyment because they are looking to serve one another than themselves. And also, the gifts and responsibilities to bless the church, they are used to bless. Sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? But let me explain. The gifts and responsibilities to bless the church, yes, they're varied and they are different. They are a gift from God. He has given them to us. They are used out of love, but they can only do any of those things and bless the church if they're actually used. The gifts and responsibilities to bless the church need to be used. If I was at home and I didn't do any of my responsibilities, it would look like this. This is Ross from Friends. He goes to an apartment, and it's just an absolute bomb site. He doesn't enjoy it there. It would be the same for us as a church, wouldn't it? It would be the same. Look at what Paul says. When he lists the gifts, he says the gift, and then he's like, use them. You would think, oh, if it's prophesying, do it, and if it's that and that and that and that. No, but after each one, he tells them to use it. It says it in verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace. Because you see, it's rooted in that position. That's the source, and to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, oh, don't use it. Forget about it. No, no, no. What does he say? If your gift is prophesying, then use it. If it, in accordance to your faith, if it is serving, forget about it. No, then use it. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, the last three, he tells them how to do it. If it's giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, which we're all called to do it cheerfully. He says the gift, and then he says, use it. A moment ago, I mentioned about thinking about others less than yourself. And Paul starts by warning the Romans in verse 3 not to think too highly of themselves. But by this point, he ends the verse by warning them not to think too little of themselves. It's quite easy to do one or the other. Paul is saying, just do it, just serve. I've given you this gift, use it. I've given you this church, be in it. The gifts and responsibilities are, there's a verb, are. The gifts and responsibilities are to bless the church. You may be new. You may be a guest. It may be your first time back for 15, 16 months. And your relationship with Jesus might be literally on a knife edge. I want to reaffirm this morning that this is a place to come and rest. It's a place to come and meet with Jesus. But my prayer is that you will not stay in that place. My prayer is that you will find rest, you will find joy here, and you'll feel like family rather than a guest. Not because there's jobs to do, yeah, but because of the gospel. Kim is really good friends with Catherine Bishop. So Catherine's in Midhurst. She used to be here in Bognor. And when Kim goes over to Catherine's house, she's a bit weird. She goes over, help just there with the kids, and then as she's going, she hoovers up. She cleans Catherine's house. The reason she cleans Catherine's house is that she's got a relationship, a deep, deep relationship with Catherine, and she feels like at home there. And it's the same for us. Look at what Paul is trying to put across. He's making a bold statement in saying to do these tasks. He's saying to the Roman church in these verses 6 to 8, he's saying perhaps he might be talking to slaves who discount themselves. That might be you, just discounting yourself. I've not been here long enough or anything like that, or I'm still trying to do that. Don't discount yourself. He's saying this. If you have not been transformed in your attitude towards the church, you haven't understood the true beauty of the gospel. It's like Kim hoovering. She's been transformed by the true relationship she has with Catherine. And she hoovers the home up, and she does it out of joy because she wants to bless her. That is where we're rooted. If we haven't been transformed by our attitude towards the church, you haven't understood the true beauty of the gospel. And you may be feeling that your relationship with Jesus is lacking. You may be feeling really distant. You may feel that you're not part of the family, but that's not where God wants you to settle. I didn't even remember that I said that word here from this morning. But yeah, God is saying, doesn't want you to settle. He wants us to flourish. And it's counterintuitive that serving in the church enables us to flourish. It enables us to grow. Verse 11 to 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, your passion, your desire serving God. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Where have you seen those last couple of words? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness. They're the fruits of the Spirit. As we take responsibility for the roles that we play in church, in the household, in the family, people looking in, they'll see the fruits of the Spirit. They'll see how attractive being in the household is. They'll see what a relationship with Jesus can do to people. It can change people. Those fruits of the Spirit are there to bless us. Paul is clear that through serving, we gain a zeal. How weird is that? That as we serve, we gain a zeal and a passion for God's church. And it's just like a new home. If you've just bought a new home, what do you want to do with it? You want to do it up. You want to invest in it. You want to clean it. You want to paint it. You want to invite people over. It's the same in church. As you serve and you invest and you do bits up and you do a bit of painting, you use your gifts to serve one another, you will increase in passion and love for Jesus' church. And it gives you a desire to bless others. While you are blessed and develop the fruits of the Spirit in your own character, so too the church is grown into a real home of rest. So the gifts and responsibilities are acts of grace, and they're very different. They're out of love. They are to be used. But ultimately, the gifts and responsibilities come from, they go through, they are found in, and they are because of Christ. the gifts and responsibilities to bless the church remain in Christ. I asked you at the start, if this was your home, what's your responsibility? Do you know what? Everything stems from this one responsibility that we have. The only responsibility that everything flows out of is remain in and enjoy Christ. Rest in Him. If we do that, the gifts, the love, the one anothering, the rest and blessing of one another's is attractive to those who look in to the church. In a minute, we're going to remember that through communion. Remember, He did it all. He did everything on the cross. He won. We bring nothing to the table. We think we bring our gifts. We think we bring our one anothering. We think we bring our rotas. We think we're serving out of love. We think we make the home smell nice. Do you know what? We are absolutely kidding ourselves. He did it all, first, once and for all, on the cross. And like I said at the start, the roles, responsibilities, gifts are all from Him, through Him, and because of Him. Acts 17 reminds us God is not served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Can you see? God is kind enough to let us wash the car, to let us join in, to help the building of His church. Seriously, He doesn't need us. Doesn't need us to serve. But He just lets us because He loves us. Whether you're serving on a Sunday or not, if you are a Christian, your main gift, your main responsibility is to enjoy and remain in Christ. That's where it comes from. That's where it flows out. John Piper, lovely quote from John Piper. The duty of serving God is sustained by the joy of being served by God. God commands, let Him work for us before He lets us work for Him. The only reason the duty of serving God's church is sustained is by the joy found in the cross, by the joy of Christ serving us, gifting us, loving us on the cross. We're gonna move into some more, not singing as such, but some more worship together. So the band are going to come up. And as they do, I just feel there's two responses this morning. One might be to write something down. So Simon mentioned earlier about connections cards. If you think, oh, I really want to serve in this area, I really want to serve our kids work or our welcome team or our energize team, you can just make a note of it on there and it'll hopefully get back to the office. Because when we remember where we're rooted in Jesus, we're rooted in His grace, it causes us to want to serve Him, to want to bless His church. It doesn't matter that I might not be super talented with kids. I'm just doing it to help out the family. Another response, however, a less written response, if you will, is to do our main responsibility, our main task, if you will, to enjoy God. We're going to do that through communion, and you're going to think, how can I enjoy God through communion? We get to remember Him. We get to remember what He has done. We were hearing it sung earlier. Remember that He's made a way. And as we remember, what we're doing is we are inviting the Holy Spirit to meet with us and to speak to us and to encounter with us.